chair back to Nick. Let me guess. Don't get too comfortable here. This one lacks the same stones as his predecessors. Back into the box we all go. Nick went rigid at the insult to his manhood. Let me guess. Zevakan isn't the Babylonian term for happy optimist.
Swap places with me, Malachi. Just for a week. Then, see if you're still up to cracking jokes about it.
Biting her lip, Livia sidled up to Nick. I don't know, Zev. This one might let us ride. Zevakan scoffed as he lifted his hood and covered his features again.
Get it over with. Send me back.
There was no missing the relegated pain behind those words, the raw anger. As much as Nick hated to admit it, Zevakan's resignation to an existence that sounded deplorable brought out his compassion. When his father and Cody and the others had talked about the Usumgalu, he'd envisioned heartless creatures like the Hell Monkeys or Adarian who lived to brutalize others. Scarred and jaded adults who had no ability to feel for anyone other than themselves. But Livia and Zevakan didn't look any older than his group of friends, or Asheron. They seemed human. Vulnerable, even. And that made him very curious about them. So, Zevakan, which member of my merry band are you? Sighing heavily, Zevakan crossed his arms over his chest and stood as rigid as a statue.
What difference does it make?
Livia answered for him. He's your Sarudara, who reigns over blood and fire. Suddenly, Zevakan threw off his hood again and cocked his head as if listening to something in the ether. He cut a harsh stare to Livia.
Hear that?
What? His skin turned as translucent as Nick's had done when he'd been in the future. Lightning appeared to flash all through his body before his skin tone returned to normal.
It's our enemies. They're coming for the Malachi.
How do you know? Nick asked. Zevakan is the oldest Saru we have, and he was the first. He knows more than any of us. As Livia spoke, Nick saw something flash in his mind. It was an image of Zevakan in armor, with wings, fighting alongside Nick's demon form. But he wasn't sure if it was an image from the future or if it belonged to the memory of a previous Malachi. Zevakan growled before he charged at the wall and vanished through it. Nick looked to Livia for an explanation.
He's after the Aurelim, who have come to claim your human's body.
Then why are we still here, wasting time? Let's go! She shook her head.
You're safer here.
Yeah, but if they kill my body, I'm screwed. I need that.
Oh.
Her nonchalance might have been amusing if his life didn't depend on her quick action. She took his arm and teleported them back to the bedroom where Nick, too, had been treed by her spider form. Unfortunately, there was no sign of him now. Nick started to ask where he was when he heard a loud crash from the first floor. He ran for the stairs and tore down them as fast as he could. As bad as the battle had been in Asheron's house in the alternate future, it was nothing compared to this fight. Nick tried to join his friends against their attackers, only to learn he couldn't. Since he didn't have a body, their enemies couldn't see him. At all. And no matter what he tried, he couldn't harm them. This was so irritating. He couldn't stand not being able to help them. Caleb fought against two of the armored Aurelim, while Zavid held three more off the other Nick, who was even more worthless in this battle than he was. At least, he wasn't crying and whimpering on the floor. Zevakan was bleeding badly while he fought a small group with Simi at his back. But not even the Karanti could make much of an impact on the Aurelim. They were incredible warriors. Unlike anything Nick had seen before, it was as if they'd been born for nothing but battle. Without a word, Livia ran to help Zavid protect Nick's body from Ameritat. He was a beast as he tried his best to kill Nick, too.
"Hand over the Malachi, and we'll leave."
Nick, too, whimpered for mercy and cowered in the corner behind Zavid. Caleb scoffed as he kicked back the Arel in front of him and turned to fight another. "Not gonna happen, Ameritat. We will defend him to our bitterest ends." Ameritat raked him with a sneer.
"Why?"
he asked incredulously.
"I know the future, Malthus. He will kill you one day, brutally."
"There are worse things than dying." Ameritat arched a brow.
"Such as?"
"Living with the knowledge that I betrayed someone who trusted me? I'm not that kind of demon, Arel."
"Then the end times begin."
Nick rushed past them to his body. He tapped Nick, too, on his shoulder. Unlike the Aurelim, his double had no problem seeing him.
"Give me back my body."
"If I knew how, I would. Believe me, I don't want to be here. I just want to go home."
Boy, did he know that feeling. Inclining his head to him, Nick summoned everything he could and then tried to walk into his body. For a few heartbeats, he felt an electrical current rush through him as if something was happening. But as quickly as he felt it, it was gone, and he was still separated.
"Dang it all! Could you at least put up some kind of fight?"
he said to himself. "Help out my friends who are about to be slaughtered while they protect you."
"I don't know how."
Nick was flabbergasted. "Big Bubba Burdett's your father, and you don't know how to throw a punch. Seriously?"
"I was never allowed to fight. My mother wouldn't let me."
Rolling his eyes, Nick heard a strange gurgle coming out of Livia. He turned to see her falling to a sword stroke as a group of Aurelim brutally attacked her. They were losing this battle, and there was nothing he could do. He didn't have his grimoire, his dagger, Cody, his body, nothing.
"See me," Caleb snapped. "Behind you."
She turned and barely ducked a blow that would have beheaded her. Breathing out a stream of fire, she tried to barbecue the Aurel, but they were too fast and too well trained. Not even the Caronte could make an impact.
"Where's a sawed-off when I need one?"
As tight as they were fighting, one blast would take out at least three of the Aurelim. For that matter, a stick of dynamite. Heck, he'd settle for a jug of Clorox, a can of hairspray, and a lighter. It just wasn't in his genetic code to go down without a fight. Nick manifested a fireball, but unlike before in the other realm, these wouldn't leave his hand here. Zevikon disengaged his opponent to help Zavid cover Nick's body. He cast an angry glare at the disembodied Nick that accused him of being as useless as he felt. Ameritat tisked at Zevikon.
"You never could choose a winning side."
Backhanding the Aurel in front of him, Zevikon snorted.
"Win, lose, or draw, if it's opposite of you, I consider it a definite win."
Ameritat raked him with his distaste.
"You think it was painful when they ripped out your wings? You haven't met misery yet."
Zevikon scoffed as he turned to fight his verbal tormentor.
"I already kissed that bitch this morning. Trust me, anything your pathetic kind does in comparison is a mother's tender, loving touch."
Ameritat headbutted Zevikon and stabbed him through the side. He knocked Zavid away before he grabbed Nick, too, and held a dagger to his throat. Nick and the others froze. Instantly.
"Stand down," Ameritat ordered them all.
He turned his glare to Simi. "And drop your barbecue sauce, demon." The look in her eyes said that she wanted to send out a blast of fire just for him. Just as Nick was sure she would, she knelt down and placed her barbecue sauce bottle on the floor.
Simi tucked her wings down.
You an evil, bad thing. The Simi's going to enjoy the day she gets to eat that big old head of yours.
Please don't hurt me,
Nick Two sobbed as he tried to pull Ameritot's hand away from his throat.
I just want to go home to my parents. I don't understand why I'm here. I can't hurt anyone. I've never hurt anyone.
Shh,
Ameritot snarled in his ear.
You don't speak.
Caleb took a slow step forward.
Let him go, Ameritot. That's not the Malachi you're holding. You think I don't know that? But it is his body, his blood, his heart.
Yeah, and his shoes and shirt, what's your point? None of that holds his power. That stays with his soul. Ameritot stepped back, dragging Nick too with him.
But we both know his power, without his blood, is weak at best. And without his heart, he's nothing more than a blind pup who can't even find his mother's teat to suckle.
Nick screwed his face up in distaste. So not the image he wanted in his head.
Come on, Caleb. Pull out one of your miracles. Blast him through the wall.
Instead, the Dave kept talking.
You know, you can't kill him. It'd destroy the balance.
Ameritot shrugged.
Everything will eventually end by his hand anyway. What difference does it make if it's now or 1,000 years in the future? Either way, we all die.
Please, Nick Two cried. Just let me go. I'm not gonna hurt anyone.
Oh, shut up.
Ameritot plunged the dagger straight into Nick's body. Nick gasped as pain exploded through his chest while he watched the other Nick sink to the floor. It burned and ached so badly that he could barely breathe.
It's over. I'm dying.
And there was nothing he could do. Ameritot stepped back from his body and smiled at the others.
We've done it. We've ended the reign of the Malachi. Forever.
No!
Livia shrieked, crawling toward Nick's body. Zevakon and Zavid stood motionless as the Aralim withdrew. Simi made her way to Livia, and they tried to heal Nick too, but there was nothing they could do. Simi pulled the knife from his heart and tossed it aside. She gathered him into her arms so that she could rock him while he bled out.
Shh, don't cry, little human. You go home soon, and everything be okay.
Coughing and wheezing, Nick too clung to her while he wept. Nick met Caleb's gaze. At first it was stone cold. Then, as Nick began to fade away, a slow, insidious smile curved Caleb's lips. Nick couldn't believe it. Caleb was actually happy that he was dying. And here he'd mistakenly thought they were friends, family even. Yet, in the end, Caleb was thrilled to see him go. Tears filled Nick's eyes as he realized all the things he'd miss, all the things he'd planned to do that he would never be able to do now, all the things he should have said to the people who mattered in his life that he let go unsaid. But the worst was the pain he knew his mother would feel once she found out he was gone. She'd be alone in the world with no one to watch over her. And in that moment, he truly understood the love Cody must have felt for him. It was one thing to have someone say that they loved you. It was another to actually understand the sacrifice they'd made for you. To know absolute grief and true regret firsthand. Nick glanced over to Zevakon as his words to Ameritot about misery became crystal. In that moment, the magnitude of their shared pain hit him hard. They were all puppets and pawns who'd been placed into a game none of them really understood, a game with no rules and no boundaries, winner take all. If I could have one more day, I would so make it count. Death brought clarity. And in that moment, Nick realized that what he missed most was the fact that he'd never see Cody again. Never have a chance to prove to her that he could be more than what he'd been born for. That even he, Nick Gaucher, could defy his cursed destiny and become the man she and his mother thought him to be. Now he would never be able to do better for them. Game over. A tear slid from the corner of his eye as the darkness he'd fought so hard against claimed him for the final round. Chapter 19. Nick felt himself falling down another abyss, and with each second that passed, his stomach cramped more. After all his best efforts, he was headed south instead of up to the pearly gates. It figured. Man, would his mom be disappointed after the number of masses she dragged him to. The only thing all that Sunday genuflecting had gotten him was really strong leg muscles. But then he hadn't lived the most perfect of lives, and he only had himself to blame for the decisions that had brought him here. The saints knew. His mom had definitely done her best to keep him on the straight and narrow, as the old saying went. There was a reason why there was only a single stairway to heaven, but an entire highway to hell. Finally, he stopped his free fall. For once, he didn't slam into anything. It was actually a gentle landing that didn't jar him at all. Well, at least hell wasn't as hot as they told him it would be. Taking a deep breath for courage, he opened his eyes to face the devil on his own turf. Nick scowled as he stared up into a familiar gaze. "Dog, Satan, you look a lot like a demon friend of mine. Are you related to Caleb Malphus?" "See me fetch that dagger. I'm going to stab him again, preferably somewhere that'll count." Simi tisked as she moved to stare down at Nick, too, and rub his cheek in a motherly fashion. "You don't want to do that, Akri Caleb. You got a big enough mess to clean up already. Why you want to add more nasty blood to it?" Stunned and confused, Nick glanced around the room. He was flat on his back in Caleb's house. "I'm not dead?" Zevikon shook his head and made a sound of supreme disgust.
"This is our Malachi."
He scowled at Livia.
"Please, gods, someone tell me this is some kind of a sick joke."
"Not a joke," Caleb offered Nick his hand. "Come on, Cajun. Now that you're whole, we need to get you up and over to holy ground to complete the ritual before we're interrupted again." "What ritual?" Zevikon lifted his hood and concealed his face.
"Putting us back in our boxes."
Taking Caleb's hand, Nick allowed the demon to pull him to his feet. "I'm behind a level here. Anyone got the cheat code to catch me up?" Caleb rubbed at his bruised jaw. "It wasn't until Ameritot grabbed your body that it dawned on me that if you died, the foreign soul would leave this realm. And with your essence here, it would naturally return to its vessel." "And so it did."
Simi grinned. "When it did, Akri Caleb healed your body."
Heck of a gamble the demon had taken with his life. "You had no doubt it would work." Caleb looked about nervously. "No, none whatsoever." Yeah, that robotic tone called him out.
"You're such a liar."
Laughing, Caleb shrugged nonchalantly. "Only an idiot tells a Malachi a truth he doesn't want to hear."
"Yes, but I could learn to love that idiot."
"Sure you could."
Caleb narrowed those dark eyes on him. "Seriously, are you all right?" Nick cocked his head as he took a moment to savor the fact that he was alive and back to a height he was used to. Yeah, he much preferred this vantage point. He'd even take the scar above his eyebrow and those despised, cute dimples his mom was always begging him to flash. And though he was
a little dizzy. It wasn't so bad. But there was one thing he definitely wanted to check on. Holding his hand up, he manifested a fireball in his hand. Oh, yeah. Missed you, baby. He clenched his fist and extinguished the flames, then kissed his hand and grinned. Where's my mom? Bubba, Mark, and Manyara are guarding her at Bubba's store. Caleb's words stunned him. While his mom loved him and Manyara, she was no fan of Bubba or Mark. She's okay with that? Not really. Told she attempted to claw out Mark's eyes when he made the mistake of trying to explain to her why she couldn't see you in the midst of what the weather people are calling Tropical Storm Lacey. Butonius. Nick frowned as he took in the blood covering his defenders. Each of them had taken a beating for him, and he was grateful for their loyalty. Heaven knew they didn't have to. Do we need to get y'all to Sanctuary for Carson to look at and patch up?
What do you care?
Zevikon snarled from the bowels of his hood. Caleb stepped between them. He cares. Grimacing, Livia pressed her hand against the cut she had across her stomach. It's nothing, really. We'll live. She glanced at Zevikon. We always do. Nick inclined his head to her. Thank y'all, by the way. You didn't have to help. Zevikon scoffed.
Of course we did. It's what we do. Bleed for the Malachi.
Nick looked at Caleb for an explanation. I thought the Usumgalu were crazed killers who would tear the world apart without me.
Without you, they would. They're your rabid attack dogs, Nick.
Caleb glanced at them in turn. They require a firm hand on their leashes, otherwise they have a nasty tendency to turn on their masters. It's why the Malachi keeps them contained.
Yeah, but that's not what they've shown me. They've been really decent to all of us. Heroes, even.
Livia arched her brows as Zevikon lowered his hood to stare at him with an unsettling intensity. Caleb shook his head.
No, Nick, don't even think what I know you're thinking. Trust me, they're animals who need to be kept caged.
Careful, Dave, Zavid said in a low tone. You're treading dangerous ground.
Caleb ignored him. Nick, I've got history with Zevikon. You cannot trust him at all. He will betray you. It's why he's marked and cursed. Zevikon had no reaction to those words at all. It was as if he expected nothing else. Nick met that cold, rusty green gaze. One thing Asheron and Cody have taught me. There's always two sides to every story. What's your version? Only then did he look at Caleb. Something odd and painful passed between them.
I was the one who was betrayed and given a fate and punishment worse than death.
Bitter rage radiated in that thick accent. Nick didn't know what their history was, but he couldn't punish someone who'd bled for him. Someone who hadn't hesitated to defend them all. Even Caleb, who seemed to hate him. Surely Zevikon couldn't be that bad, or else he'd have stayed out of the fight and let the Aurelim have them. If I keep you here, do you both swear to protect me and mine? And by mine, I mean those I hold dear, including Caleb, Zavid, Cody, Simi, and crew?
Nick,
Caleb growled in warning. Ignoring him, Zevikon narrowed his eyes suspiciously.
You would trust us, Malachi.
Nick touched the St. Nicholas and St. Christopher medallions his mother had given him that he kept around his neck.
I'm willing to go on a little faith.
Livia smiled. I knew I liked you better than Adarian. I'm in. She threw herself against Nick, then kissed him. Nick quickly disentangled himself. No offense. There will be none of that while you're here. I'm spoken for. At least he hoped and prayed he could still say that.
Oh.
Sorry.
She sedately straightened herself. Nick turned his attention to Zevakon, who had yet to come in.
What about you?
He looked at Nick's outstretched hand as if it offended him. Just when Nick was sure he was going to tell him to stick it in any available orifice, he nodded and shook it.
Until you betray me, Malachi, you have my loyalty.
Caleb cursed, then mumbled under his breath. I knew I should have killed you when I had the chance. I don't care what your daddy or your test scores say, moron. Nick turned to face his irritable compadre. Come on, Caleb. Would you really have done that to them? He looked past Nick to lock gazes with Zevakon. In a heartbeat. And in his case, I'd have sealed the case for eternity so that no one could ever open it again. Zevakon said something to Caleb in a language Nick couldn't translate. Caleb snorted.
Pray I don't take your proverbial hatchet and bury it someplace fatal.
He indicated Nick with a tilt of his chin.
Can we finish the ritual before any more of your friends show up?
Sure. What do we need to do? Caleb glanced to Seemi. Seem,
can you do me a favor and watch this crew while I take Nick to the cemetery?
Absolutely, Akra Caleb. We can have an ice cream and barbecue party while you quality Akris take your time and do what you gots to do.
Caleb still looked constipated as he swept his gaze around to Zavid, Livia, and Zevakon.
I weep that I'm going to live to regret this.
And with that, he vanished, with Nick in tow. Seemi turned to them with a bright, fanged smile.
So who be hungry?
Me, Livia said enthusiastically. Can we really have food?
Oh, she-demon. Akri Caleb like his food almost as much as the Seemi. You come on, child. And let the Seemi educate you on the best eats in New Orleans.
Zevakon hung back as the women left. When Zavid started after them, he pulled him to a stop.
What's the deal with this, Malachi? I don't know. I just joined him myself, but he seems level. Decent, even.
He wasn't so sure about that. He didn't believe in decency anymore, from anyone.
He's with a half-dave turncoat, a Karante, and an Amon, and you don't find that off?
Zavid laughed. Wait until you meet his RL girlfriend, lunatic mother, and the two human homicidal maniacs he calls family. Buddy, everything about the Malachi ain't right. Zevakon screwed his face up as he digested those incomprehensible words.
The Malachi has a mother, and he hasn't eaten her.
No, he worships the ground she walks on. That was even more peculiar to him than this house they were in. Without another word, Zavid headed after the women. Still baffled, Zevakon took a moment to strengthen the spell shielding Malphus's home. Although why he wasted his own powers to protect someone who hated him, he had no idea. But then, they were family. Or, at least, they had been born so. Nick shivered from the cold rain that poured down on them while they stood in the center of the dark cemetery. The sharp winds tore at them with an almost hurricane force. So what is it with you and Zevakon? Caleb paused to look up while he was anointing the circle with the oils he'd brought.
I was one of the judges who had his powers and wings stripped.
Nick's jaw went south. What? Why? Caleb returned to sanctifying the circle.
He betrayed his oath, his brethren, and his family.
He should have been put to death. It's what I lobbied for. Man, that was harsh. And it wasn't like Caleb to be so heartless, not without good cause. What exactly did he do? Caleb's eyes turned to a demonic orange that glowed in the darkness. He snuck our enemies inside our walls and allowed them to lay waste to everything we held dear. Nick felt sick as he realized what must have happened. Is that how your wife died?
I don't want to talk about it, Gaucher.
Suffice it to say, he's not to be trusted, not for anything. And definitely not with anyone you want to keep alive. Nick knew he should leave this topic alone, but he couldn't. He wanted to understand what would make someone do something so horrific. Did he say why he did it? Caleb stood up and glared at him in the darkness.
Does it matter? Really? Would you put your mother in harm's way for any reason?
No. He doubted he'd even do that for Cody.
That is what Zevakon did. He allowed our innocent families, his innocent family, our children, to be slaughtered while they slept in cold blood. And you...
He sneered the word, turning it into the vilest of insults,
have embraced him as a brother.
Because you didn't share any of this earlier.
Would it have mattered?
Probably. Maybe. Yes. Yes, it would have. Why didn't you tell me this? Caleb growled.
I don't know what's worse. Your humanity or your demon kin. Both are liable to kill you and get the rest of us slaughtered in the process.
Would you just listen to me once in a while when I try to tell you something? Nick rolled his eyes.
Guy, you sound like my mother, and you sound like an idiot.
That went over him like a bucket of ice. For a moment, he almost lashed out at Caleb. Only the fact that he knew the demon was in pain kept him from hitting him.
I don't have to take this from you, Kay. I really don't.
Caleb slung the oils out and threw his head back so that he could let loose a bellow that shook the massive tombs around them even harder than the thunder did. His soaking wet skin mottled from human into its demon orange. His black wings shot out as he gave into a rage the likes of which Nick had never seen before. Caleb was always in control, always calm in any crisis, but this was a terrifying reminder of what Caleb really was. Deadly. And it was several more heartbeats before Nick realized the demon wasn't really angry. Caleb was crying. His agony reached out and wrapped itself around Nick like it was his own. Wanting to comfort his friend, Nick approached him slowly.
I'm sorry, Caleb. I didn't know.
His breathing ragged, Caleb glared at him while the rain poured down over them both, drenching them.
Of all the people in all the worlds, you picked the one being I truly cannot stand. The one whose name makes me sick to hear or to say, and it's one I cannot banish from my nightmares, no matter how hard I try.
And again... I'm sorry. You know I would never hurt you. Not intentionally.
Caleb let out a tired breath as he wiped at the tears on his cheeks that blended in with the rain.
Why are we fighting?
Because I did something stupid.
Again. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this.
He gestured at the ritual he'd started.
Why do we bother, Nick?
Really?
Ameritant's right. In the end, you will destroy everything anyway. All we're doing is delaying the inevitable. Why not stop our suffering now and just get it over with? Let the dark powers take it all.
Nick was aghast at the mere suggestion. Yes, Caleb was hurting, but you didn't throw everything away over a painful past. You didn't just quit a fight because you got a bloody nose. No matter how bad it stung, you shook your head, got your bearings, and fired back with another punch. Surely Caleb, of all beings, understood that.
Because this is bigger than just us, Kay. I saw that when I died.
This isn't about you or me or even Zevakon.
This is about billions and billions of lives. If I don't stop myself from becoming the Ambrose, it's not just this world that will end. It's all of them. Everything unravels. Everything. And you're right. It's hard to get up every day when you know you're going to be slapped back down. Hard to make yourself go face the people who hate and mock you. It's hard to find dignity in a world that hates you and begrudges you every breath you take. But you know why we do it?
We're stupid.
No, Nick breathed. We do it for those tiny moments when the world opens up and we're no longer alone. Those moments when we realize that we aren't the center of the universe, but to one single person, we're their entire existence. We are what they live for, and we matter to them more than anything. No matter how hard we get knocked down, we stand back up, and we face the darkness that's inside us, and we raise our fist at it and tell it, "Not today. You won't have me yet. I won't let you take that last bit of my soul." Caleb shook his head in denial and turned away, but Nick wouldn't let him. He pulled his arm until their gazes locked. "You still care, Caleb. In spite of everything you've been through, I've seen it. I know it. You're wounded and you're hurt. We all are. But we've made our own screwed-up family of misfits out of the chaos that is our life. You, me, Cody, Manyara, Simi, Asheron, Bubba, Mark, Kiri, and my mom. We have bled inside and out for each other. And yes, all of us will die eventually, but that isn't what matters. What matters is how we live in the interim. We don't fight for ourselves. We fight for who and what we love. And if there's any chance to save them, we have to take it. Because they deserve nothing less than our absolute best. And by all the gods of all the universes, that's what I plan to give to you and the others. My absolute best, always." For several seconds, Caleb said nothing as the thunder rolled around them. Finally, he glared at Nick.
"I really effing hate you, Gosha."
Nick grinned at him. "Yeah, me too." Grabbing his hand, Caleb yanked him into a bro hug.
"We will get Cody back, Nick. I swear it."
"I'm going to hold you to that." Nick clapped him on his shoulder, then stepped away. He gestured at the mess Caleb had made. "So, have we completely ruined this? Do we have to start again?" Caleb shook his head.
"It's done. You just need to stand in the center and assume the rest of your powers."
Nick arched his brows.
"All of them?"
He nodded.
"And try not to set the world on fire. Definitely don't make my head explode."
"Great way to build up my confidence, brother."
"I have faith in you."
Coming from Caleb, that said a lot. Nick took a deep breath and walked to the center where Caleb had used the oils to draw the Malachi emblem in the rain. He raised his fist high in the air as lightning lit the sky above them.
"By the power of Grayskull, I have the power!"
Caleb groaned.
"By the power of Grayskull, I'm gonna cleave your skull from your shoulders if you don't take this seriously."
Lowering his arm, Nick snorted. "Dude, you've seen my screwed-up life. I take everything seriously." He winked at the demon, then used his powers to transform from human to his Malachi form. Nick stared down at his marbled black and red skin. He would never get used to seeing that.
"Tell me I'm better looking as a demon than you are."
Caleb rolled his eyes.
"You know my type, Gosha. I think you're uglier than a three-toed warthog and Mark after a four-day swamp zombie hunt."
"Oh, man, now that's just plain mean."
Caleb shoved at his shoulder. "Get on with it before I get hit by lightning."
Sobering, Nick cleared his throat before he spoke the words he needed to seal off the rest of the Usumgalu.
"Ahira, ahira, neshenai, eli, elodor, Crap.
He'd forgotten already.
Dor-a-uh.
He inclined his head to Caleb.
Dor-a-uh. Dash-i-malachai tir-tir-e-landeum.
Honestly, he had no idea what he just said, but no sooner had he spoken the last syllable than the storm began to recede. The rain slowed.
It's working?
He asked Caleb.
It's working.
Relieved that he hadn't had to attack Zev or Livia or anyone else, Nick returned to his human form.
Man, I'm so glad I didn't have to bleed this time. It's a miracle.
Actually,
Caleb pulled the hem of Nick's t-shirt up to expose the scar on his chest where Ameritot had stabbed him.
You did bleed. Most of it's still on the floor of my house, I'm sure.
Nick fingered the scar that formed an intricate pattern that eerily reminded him of Noir's and Azura's symbols.
This isn't the chunk monkey, is it?
Caleb laughed.
No, it's not. It's a memento from your enemies.
Yeah, well, at least it makes my heart surgery scar look cooler.
Speaking of, how do you feel?
Nick took a minute to consider it. Honestly, it was hard to put into words what he felt now.
Stronger? More powerful?
Like a target?
You are all of those.
Great. Just what he wanted. But he was done complaining about it. All the bitching did was make Caleb crankier than normal. So, do you think the other Nick made it back home? Caleb picked up the remnants of his oils and packed them away.
You would know before I would.
Nick started to ask him how, but before he could, he knew the answer, somehow.
Yeah, he did.
He frowned at Caleb.
How do I know that?
You're the Malachi,
he said simply. The universal target for everything non-human in existence. A walking trophy that all preternatural creatures would kill to defeat, slay, or enslave. Up until now, that had terrified him. Yet, as Caleb handed him the basket of oils to carry while they headed back to his house, Nick realized that it wasn't so bad. Yeah, okay, it really was. It sucked, it blew, it was a destiny he wouldn't wish on anyone, but this was his life. And honestly, he liked it. It wasn't perfect, yet it was all his. And while it was true that he'd had no choice in how he'd entered this world, and he would most likely have no choice in how he left it, he did control the in-between years. As his father had said, the Ambrose Malachi would never be forgotten. But it was up to Nick alone as to how he'd be remembered. And from this moment forward, he intended to make every single day count. Most of all, he intended to minimize any future regret. Epilogue.
All right, Zev, Nick said, just outside the locked door. Brace yourself. There's no telling what we're about to walk into. It could be bloody, bloody.
I think I can take it, Mal.
What did I tell you about using that name?
Gaucher,
Zevacon corrected.
Believe me, I've been in much bloodier battles than this.
Doubtful, but keep up that bravery. We're gonna need it.
Holding his arms out to the sides of his body and shaking them, Nick took several deep breaths for courage, then loosened up his neck muscles.
Man, he was terrified, but he wasn't about to admit that out loud, and he couldn't delay this any longer.
It had to be done. He inclined his head to Zevacon.
Here we go.
He opened the door and stepped inside. Nick had barely taken a step before the fiercest beast of all latched onto him with a Velcro-tight grip that no amount of strength could break.
Ma, please, you're killing me. I can't breathe.
Instead of loosening her hold, she only tightened it more.
Boo, I've been so worried about you. Are you all right?
Until you choked the life out of me, yeah. Tisking, she finally stepped back and stared up at him with a joyous smile that lit her entire face. Her long blonde hair was pulled back into a wavy ponytail that made her look more like his older sister than his mother. Her blue eyes glistened with unshed tears.
You have no idea how scary it is to be trapped with Bubba and Mark in a storm.
Actually, it's probably the safest place to be in Orleans. She scoffed at that.
Did you know?
Her sentence broke off as she realized Nick wasn't alone. A deep frown creased her brow while she took in Zavakan's height and unorthodox appearance. Both Nick and Zavid had tried their best to mask the boy's multicolored hair, only to learn that part of his curse was that it couldn't be changed. No matter what they did, the colors bled through.
Are you Ashes, little brother?
She asked. Zavakan raised a curious brow.
Ash?
A friend of mine, Nick explained quickly. No, Ma, this is Zev. His voice trailed off. Crap. Somehow they'd forgotten to give him a last name.
Lara Xerxes.
Wow. Props to the Sarudara for thinking fast on his feet. Not that Nick could repeat the name if his life depended on it. Yeah, what he said. He stepped behind his mom to frown and mouth the name at Zavakan. What kind of freaky moniker was that? His mom smiled.
That's absolutely beautiful, but quite a mouthful,
says the woman with a last name no one can ever pronounce or spell correctly, including other Cajuns.
Please, say it again.
Zavakan repeated it slowly.
Dara Xerxes.
Dara Xerxes?
He grinned at her attempt.
Very good, Mrs. Gaucher. I'm impressed. You did much better than most.
Thank you. Your accent is quite lovely, too, but I have no idea where it comes from.
It's, I forget in English. Kurvarn.
His mother actually squirmed.
I've never heard of it.
Now it was Zevikon's turn to be uncomfortable as he looked to Nick for help, as if Nick had a clue where on a map that was. Most days he could barely find New York State.
It's Mesopotamia, the land between the rivers? Oh, well, don't I feel stupid now, sorry.
No, you should never apologize for such, Mrs. Gaucher. I'm the one who couldn't translate it correctly. It was my bad.
His mom smiled again at his colloquialism that sounded extra weird through his heavy accent.
It's always nice to meet one of Nick's friends.
She took his hand and patted it kindly. The moment she touched him, an unexpected tear slid down his cheek. Embarrassed, he pulled his hand away and wiped at it.
Forgive me.
His mom frowned in concern.
Are you all right, sweetie?
Nick wouldn't have believed it, but the ancient being was as cowed by his tiny mother as everyone else. Nodding, Zavakan looked about nervously.
I never had a mother, so I don't know what's appropriate. Nick failed to warn me that you would be warm and gentle.
Oh, you poor Boo.
His mother pulled him into her arms and held him tight about the waist. Eyes wide, Zavakan appeared terrified as he held his arms out away from her, over her shoulders. Nick bit back a laugh at the sight of his tiny mother, who barely reached mid-chest level on the fierce Sarudara. She had absolutely no clue.
Just go with it, Zev. My mom mothers everything. She can't help herself. And whatever you do,
don't take her to a pet store, especially not on adoption days.
Making a sound of irritation, his mom pulled back and rubbed Zevikon's arm.
Are you staying for dinner? I have chicken jambalaya almost ready, and there's more than plenty.
About that, Ma. She turned toward Nick.
What?
Zev's place got flooded during the storm.
Do you mind if he bunks here for a few nights until it's habitable again?
Or, more to the point, until they found him someplace to live. She drew her brows together into a puzzled expression.
Where's your family?
I don't have any.
Then how are you here?
Nick jumped in with an answer before Zevikon accidentally outed them. He's on a student visa. Don't worry, Mom. He's not a serial killer. If he was, I wouldn't have him near you. I promise I'll keep him locked in my room. You won't even know he's here. And he's not nearly as messy as I am. At least, he hoped that was true. She shook her head at him.
Of course, it's fine for him to stay. You know I can't stand to see anyone on hard times. Now, let me go check on our dinner before it burns. Y'all get cleaned up, and I'll see you in a sec.
Zevikon watched her leave with a longing in his eyes that wrenched Nick's gut. You all right, buddy? Blinking, he nodded.
I now understand.
What?
Why you are who and what you are.
He locked gazes with Nick, and there in his eyes was a quiet longing Nick didn't understand until he spoke a single question.
What is it like to be loved?
Don't you know? He shook his head slowly. Nick laughed until he realized it wasn't a joke. Come on. Seriously? Brother, father, pet? You had to have family at some point, right?
Yeah, but we didn't have love. We had honor, obligation, and responsibility. Nothing more.
Nothing? Is that why you betrayed them? His eyes turned as red as his hair.
I did not betray them.
He ground out between clenched teeth.
I was the one who was betrayed by all of them.
Nick held his hands up in surrender and to calm down the older being. Okay, sorry. I heard a different version of events. I'm not judging you. I wasn't there. Consider me Switzerland.
Switzerland.
Nick patted him on the arm. We got a long way to go with your education. He jerked his chin toward the hallway. Come on, I'll show you to my room. Zevikon followed even while he kept waiting for something terrible to happen, for Nick to turn on him and lunge for his throat or bury a dagger in his back. After all, Caleb had welcomed Zavid and Livia in to stay in his home, but he'd mercilessly thrown Zevikon out of his house and told them both that Zevikon would never be allowed there again. Though, to be honest, everything considered, it was a much kinder expulsion than the last one Caleb had given him. He wasn't bleeding nearly as badly this time, inside or out. And this is the bathroom. Nick opened the door. Sweeping his gaze over the room, Zevikon had no idea what anything inside there was.
I assume you bathe in here?
Yeah.
Then where's the pool?
Nick grimaced. Ah, man. He sighed heavily. We don't have a pool. You bathe in the bathtub or shower. He showed him how to use it. You do your business in the toilet, use some TP, and then flush it, or my mom will kill us both. Understood?
Understood.
And you wash your hands here. Nick illustrated how the sink worked and where the soap was kept.
Got it now. Thank you.
No problem. Nick headed back to his room across the hallway. Zevikon took a moment to experiment with the wall switch and lights. He had a lot to learn about this human world. He hadn't been free in more centuries than he could count. And so much had changed. But for his powers, he'd have no way of understanding their language or anything else. Yet for all his abilities, he had a lot of gaps in his knowledge,
as Nick was proving repeatedly.
I will make do.
He always had. Still, he felt lost, unsure. Hatred and anger he was used to. Kindness? That was scary stuff. Turning the light off, Zevikon headed back to Nick's room to find him on the phone. Caleb, there has to be some spell or something to bring her back. I don't care what it takes. We can't leave her stranded. I want my girl. I miss her. Nick! His mother shouted suddenly. He covered the phone with his hand. Coming, Ma. Glancing at Zevikon, he returned to his call. I have to go, but we have to find something, fast. Talk to you later. He hung up.
Your girl?
Zevikon asked as Nick slid the phone into his pocket. Nick let out a sad sigh that was nothing compared to the pain in his blue eyes. Cody was left stranded on the other side. When I returned to this realm, she helped me reach home, and now there's no one to free her. He related to that a lot more than he wanted to. It was an awful feeling to be imprisoned in an unknown dimension, alone, afraid, ignorant of its rules and customs.
Is she human?
Nick shook his head. A ghost. That was the last category Zevikon had expected.
Your girl is a ghost.
Yeah, I know. My life is really messed up, and so are most of the people in it, but I don't mind. Nick swallowed hard. I wouldn't have made it back here without Cody, and I can't leave her there alone. I owe her too much to just walk away while she needs me.
I see.
Nick headed for the hallway, then paused as he realized Zevikon wasn't following after him. Something wrong?
I need a minute. Is that all right?
Yeah, sure. We'll be down in the kitchen. Don't wait too long, or I might scarf up all the jambalaya. No one makes a better batch than my mom. Zevikon waited until he was alone before he shut the door. As he turned, he caught sight of himself in the dresser mirror and winced. No wonder Mrs. Gaucher had reacted to him the way she had. He was hideous like this. His family had left him with nothing, not even his dignity. If only they'd listened, but no, they'd been too angry to hear more than their own condemnation. He'd been used and then thrown away as if he was nothing more than useless, unwanted rubbish. Nick and his mother, alone, had treated him as if he mattered. They had finally given him a modicum of dignity. He wasn't sure how much of his powers were left. His family had stripped the majority of them from him when they cast him out. And the Malachi who'd enslaved him had taken his own toll on them. But maybe, just maybe, he might be able to repay Nick's kindness. Closing his eyes, he mustered as much as he could and allowed his conscious spirit to leave his body and traverse through realms he used to travel effortlessly. It took several minutes before he was able to gain his bearings. He'd forgotten how dizzying it could be, how disconcerting.
Cody,
he mentally called, trying to find the right spirit. I'm Cody. You are... He turned toward the demon and shook his head.
You're not the one I seek.
But I could be. Shaking his head at her offer, he drifted away from her and kept searching. It seemed to take forever as he retraced Nick's path to the other side. He was just about to give up when something struck him hard between his shoulders. Hissing in pain, he turned toward his attacker, ready to battle, until he saw the small Arel, who was glaring at him. Instantly, he remembered what Zavid had told him about Nick's girlfriend, and it all made sense.
Cody?
You are not overtaking this world, she rushed him. Zevikon ducked and twisted away from her.
I'm not trying to take over.
Don't lie to me. You're the Sarudara. I can smell it on you.
And you are Nix Cody.
She retreated a step. How do you know that?
I've come to return you to him.
Suspicion clouded her green eyes. You can't do that. I can't go back there. Ever.
Yes, you can. I have the power to restore you.
As what, your blood slave? Forget it. He laughed at her assumptions.
I can't enslave a ghost. You have no true blood with which to feed me.
Oh, there is that. She screwed her face up as she continued to watch him warily. Then, how can you take me back?
I can pull your spirit with mine.
Only a god can do that. He forced himself not to react to her words.
I can do it too.
He held his hand out to her.
Trust me, Cody.
Why should I trust the Sarudara?
For the same reason you trust the Malachi.
She snorted at him. You make all kinds of sense, don't you?
Only on occasion.
Still, he held his hand out in invitation, waiting to see if she'd spit on him like everyone else. Honestly, he couldn't blame her if she did. Trust wasn't something he was familiar with either. She stared at his proffered limb. Swear to me that this isn't a trick?
Are you willing to believe me if I do?
Strangely, I think I am.
Then I swear. It's not a trick, Cody. I will take you home to Nick.
She stepped forward and placed her palm against his. For a full minute, Zevakon couldn't breathe at the warm softness in his hand. It had been centuries since anyone had touched him for any reason other than to cause him pain. First, Charisse. Now, Cody. In that moment, he hated Nick for what he took for granted. Unlike all the ones who'd come before him, the Ambrose Malachi had no idea what it was like to exist in solitude, to be truly despised and betrayed by everyone, to have no friends, no family. But Zevakon knew, and it hurt to a level unimaginable. Unable to resist the impulse, he closed his eyes and pulled her hand to his cheek, to savor the sweet scent of her warm, soft skin. She shifted nervously. Excuse me, Mr. Sarudara, what are you doing? He wanted to hold her there forever. But she didn't belong to him, or even with him. Opening his eyes, he lowered her hand and pulled her back with him through the darkness. As he returned to his body, she was almost ripped from his grasp, but he refused to let the others take her. An act of kindness deserved an act of kindness. It didn't deserve to be heartbroken. For Nick alone, he would defy them all, even his parents. No one would take this woman from the Malachi, not without a brutal fight. And once Zevakon was restored fully, there would be plenty of paybacks to come. But that would have to wait. First, he had this to take care of. Finally, he got her through in one piece, unscathed. He released her hand and left her to stand by the bed as he merged his spirit back into his physical bondage. He gasped out loud the moment his spirit reunited with his body. He'd forgotten how much pain his wounds had left him with. That brief respite from the physical realm cost him now, as he struggled to breathe. Are you all right? Stumbling against the wall, he barely heard Cody.
I just need a moment.
You're shaking. His breathing ragged, he doubled over in absolute agony. It hurt so much his teeth chattered. No matter how hard he tried, he couldn't bring it under control. Are you bleeding? He must have reopened the wound on his return.
It'll stop.
Eventually. At least the external injuries would. Let me see. She pulled at his shirt.
No,
he snarled, but it was too late. She'd already seen his shame that had been branded into his flesh. You're cursed. He glared at her.
Aren't we all?
He pulled away and sank to the floor so that he could steady his breathing and acclimate to the pain of his wounds. What are you? She breathed. Really? He met her gaze without flinching.
As you said, my lady. Cursed.
Finally, the pain overwhelmed him. Before he could stop it, it dragged him back to the darkness he hated with every molecule of his being. Hey, Zev, what's keep? Nick's voice trailed off as he opened the door and saw the last thing he expected. Cody, in the middle of his room. A million emotions ripped him apart and froze him to the spot as their gazes met and locked, but the most overwhelming one was joy at seeing her there. How was this possible? Are you real? His voice trembled with the fear that this was another illusion, that he'd reach to touch her and she'd vanish. Tears flooded those beautiful green eyes. I'm real. She ran to him and hugged him tight. Nick trembled as he buried his face in her hair and inhaled the most precious scent on the planet. He rubbed his face against the silken strands. How? Simi said you couldn't come back. She pulled away to kiss him, then gestured towards Evacon. I don't know how, but he rescued me. Flabbergasted, Nick released her and ran to check on his new friend. Zev? He came awake, slugging. Nick barely had time to duck out of the way. Snarling, Zevacon rolled into a crouching position, ready to attack. His eyes feral, he glanced around as if looking for something that wanted to eat him. Zev, you're safe. It's me, Nick. Finally, he calmed down and relaxed, even while he remained on all fours.
Did I pass out?
Yeah, you okay? He sat down on the floor. Leaning his head back against the wall, he closed his eyes.
I can't die.
Not the same thing.
Sure it is.
Cody pulled the blanket from the foot of Nick's bed and tucked it around Zevacon. Thank you. He licked his lips.
Just repaying a debt. We're even now, Malachi.
Nick shook his head in denial. No, Zev, we're not. He laced his fingers with Cody. What you did for me, for Cody, I can never repay.
As I said, Malachi, we are even.
But Nick knew better. And though he didn't know how, he was going to make this right for his newfound friend. You want me to bring your dinner to you?
I don't want to be rude to your mother.
Dude, you're bleeding. I don't think you should be moving around right now. Just rest, and I'll be back in a few minutes with a plate. Pulling the blanket tighter, he nodded.
Thank you.
Nick hesitated as he brushed the back of his hand against Cody's cheek. You want me to bring you some, too? Please, I'm starving. He gave her a light kiss before he left them alone. Cody bit her lip as she turned back toward the Sarudara, and a weird feeling went through her. He had a presence that was unmistakable, and it wasn't just the fact that he was a member of the Usumgalu. This was very different and very scary. Nick called you Zev? He nodded.
I'm Zevikon.
Absolute horror filled her at the name of a creature who was only half a step less deadly to the world's future than Malachi. Please, please let me be wrong. Zevacon? She repeated slowly. Or is it Darazurxis? His gaze snapped to hers and held it prisoner.
How do you know my title?
Cody stumbled back,
away from the creature on the floor. Dear gods, Nick, what have you done while I was gone? Her boyfriend had not only opened the gates of hell, he'd just unleashed the most dangerous god of all time.
This is Holter Graham. We hope you've enjoyed this production of Illusion by Sherilyn Kenyon. This program was produced and directed by Scott Sherritt. Recorded by Maddie Argyropoulos. Post-production by Danny Meltzer. Executive producer, Laura Wilson. Text copyright 2014 by Sherilyn Kenyon. Production copyright 2014 by Macmillan Audio. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.